Congressman Blaine Lucemaire joins us, and obviously the number one thing people are talking about is the now confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And how about your thoughts on it finally being over?
Well, it's we're glad that it's done, number one. I think we got a good man in there who's a very competent individual who's going to settle cases based on constitutional law and not be an activist. I think that's number one. You know, a lot of the other peripheral stuff here that's caused all the grief and all the controversy over this last week is very sad. From the standpoint that for somebody to be able to just level charges uncorroborated at any point, even through an FBI investigation, and still people be upset about that is ridiculous, quite frankly. If he'd done something that's something to be taken into consideration, but obviously there's nothing there. This is like, all of a sudden I'm going to make a case against you that you're a thief. I saw you break into a Quick Shop this morning before it opened on the way to work. I saw you coming out the door, but nobody saw you do it. I can't corroborate it. And all of a sudden now I've tainted your reputation as a thief because of an accusation. That's not fair. And our system of government is done like that. Our system of laws is like that. And as a result, they've tried to flip the due process part of our system of law, which is really important, one of the basics of this. So the accusations can't be thrown at people that are uncorroborated and destroy people's reputations like this, throw people in jail with unfounded accusations. That's at the very heart of who we are as a culture and as a people with this principle of law. And for them to try and flip that upside down, it just tells you how desperate they are and to the depths that they will stoop to try and destroy this man as well as upset our legal system. So I'm happy that he got through. I think that his willingness to stay in the battle to the end here is to be commended. And fortunately, we had enough votes in the Senate to get it through and make it happen. So I think he'll do a great job on the court, and hopefully this will all be passed this year.
What does his appointment to the Supreme Court now mean for the court itself and some issues they may tackle in the next few years?
Well, I mean, he's a very strict constitutionalist, so he's going to judge issues based on the Constitution itself and not what he thinks is the society wants to do. He's going to base it on the law, the way that I think it should be done. If you don't like the law, then let's go change the law. But until the law is changed, it is the law, and therefore you have to abide by it. Otherwise, we have a lawless society. We have tyranny. We have the situation we just went through, where an accusation can be leveled at somebody, and somebody can be reputation be tarnished, could be thrown in jail. If you flip this principle of innocent until proven guilty upside down, you've just upended our entire culture. So I think it's important to have somebody on the Supreme Court who does understand that the rule of law is important, Constitution is important, and we have to adjudicate cases according to that law. So I think we've got a couple activists on there, and I think he'll be able to offset those, and hopefully the cases will be ruled on the merits of the case versus as a law is applied and versus some sort of other activist agenda that some of these other folks have.
I know a lot of folks in your area, too, your district, are wondering what's going to happen with the farm bill, which is still in conference. Are you hearing anything?
No, I'm not hearing a whole lot. I know they're negotiating on it. And the holdup, as we've talked about before, Bob, is that in the House, we put a provision in there that said people who are on food stamps, who are capable of working, in order to continue to draw food stamps, have to be at least in a program of 20 hours of training per week, and we will pay for the training. This would catch about 60% of the people on food stamps between the ages of 18 and 59. Anybody who's a senior, who's pregnant with children, younger than that, or disabled, which is about 40% of the people on food stamps, it would not apply to. But people who are able-bodied and nothing physically wrong with them, we would pay for training to get those people, give those people an opportunity to be able to provide for themselves and their families and get on their feet, get them a job. And then with one job, you can eventually move up to other jobs and improve your life and improve your ability to make a living. And so we want to give them the tools to do that. Now, the Senate, in their infinite wisdom, kicked that out because, again, we have a group over there that believe that we need to have people on the welfare rolls as long as we can to be able to to use those folks. And so that's the issue. The rest of the farm bill is pretty well cut and dried. It's not controversial. It's pretty well agreed to. But that one provision is the one that's holding it up, the difference between the House version and the Senate version. So we'll see where it goes.
Any idea when something may get done with that? Because once it gets through conference, it's got to go back to both chambers.
Right, and this is the deal. They've got to make sure that something that they think can pass both chambers before they agree to it in conference. So they want to bring it back to each body. I know our guys are bringing it back as they're talking about things and talking among ourselves, see once if it's something we could agree to, so that we don't have any surprises when we bring it back to be voted on. So hopefully the conference committee will be something that everybody can agree to and support in both bodies without any surprises. So at this point, Bob, I really don't have any information to indicate when it's going to happen. I know that both sides, I know Chairman Conaway very well. He's a good friend of mine from Texas who chairs the Ag Committee. He's in charge of this. He's hopeful, but he's still working on it. Let's just put it that way.
All right. What else is big on your plate these days, Congressman?
Well, I think I deal with financial services issues mostly in my world, and we're dealing with a data security bill that we got out of committee right before we left that sort of establishes some new standards for notification as well as liability exposure for entities that don't do a good job of protecting the data of other people who do business with it. Doing a bill that deals with the anti-money laundering stuff that is very important, not necessarily to as many financial institutions here in central Missouri and in the Midwest, but a lot of the states that are along the southern border, southern tier of states in the country, it's a really big deal. The regulators really hammer them, give them a lot of trouble. But even here in the Midwest and in central Missouri, there's still a lot of work that the financial folks have to do to be able to comply with some of the requirements of these money laundering laws. And then there's a new situation that's kind of popped up. It deals with institutions being able to, when you make a loan, immediately put money into a reserve for the losses that potentially could occur, rather than look at the history of losses and look what you think the economy may be doing and have your loan loss reserve adjusted like that, which this is called CECL, and it's really a bad deal from the standpoint of costing the financial institutions a lot of money to be able to comply. And those costs have to be, have to be passed on, and especially for smaller banks, these small community banks, this is another cost that they're going to have to bear or have to pass on to consumers. Another stress point that is causing one community bank, one credit union a day, to be closed up or merged. So we've got to find a way to sort of minimize some of that as well. So I've just got a lot of those types of issues on my plate, and we'll continue to work on those when we get back.
When do you hope to have the data security bill hit the floor?
Well, it could hit the floor yet in the lame duck session sometime in November or December. I'm not just real sure on timing. We had some problems with the bill from the standpoint that instead of being able to be all-encompassing across the board on all businesses, all industries, we've ratcheted it back to just financial services industries folks to be able to be forced to comply. And there's some other retailer folks out there that we're having to work with, try and get some things worked on. So I think it could go on the floor this fall, this is fall, early winter, but I'm guessing it probably will be next spring before we work another with a new session. We'll have new people involved, be new leadership, and we will probably have a different kind of bill that would be more, I would hope, be more encompassing and get more folks involved. And at that time, have a better opportunity to get it all the way across the finish line.
And finally, let me ask you this. This is the election cycle, and, of course, November's coming up in a big hurry. What's realistic to get things done between now and say, the end of the year, especially when you've got some ugly races like the U.S. Senate race in Missouri?
Well, the Senate is still in session until the elections. The House is out until after the elections. So the Senate's got about 400 of our bills sitting over there, so they could get quite a bit done. But I think what they're going to focus on mostly, I think they got the opioid bill done, by the way, last week, which is a really big deal. We've got a financial services bill sitting over there, which that deals with we call it Jobs Act 3.0. Deals with a lot of smaller bills that help different entities, different industries to be able to do a better job of providing for themselves and helping produce jobs. So that's a bill they could take up if they wanted to. But really, for us to get back and get much done, it's going to have to be something that the Senate passes. You know, the farm bill could be something we get done during that lame duck session. The Senate's going to continue to work on a lot of judicial nominations, and that's why they're going to probably stay in session until Election Day. They're just not getting them done. You saw the delay tactics of the Democrats during the Kavanaugh hearings. That's what goes on every day when it comes to these other judicial appointments. They drag them out as long as they possibly can. And as a result, there's just the McConnell's keeping them in there forever. They gave up the August recess, and now they're giving up the October recess here to stay there and work on nominations. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you feel sorry for the staffers in that from that standpoint. Final question. Do you see either chamber flipping during the upcoming election?
I don't see the Senate flipping. I see the House. There is a possibility of it flipping. I think it's less now with the Kavanaugh hearings. I think the Kavanaugh hearings have energized the Republican base. And it's also done something that a lot of folks aren't talking about. And it's tipped the independent vote our way. You look at the polling data, and it's significant. There is no blue wave coming anymore. The blue wave is being offset by a red wave that's out there now. So now it's up to the folks in the middle who normally determine elections. They're going to determine it one more time here, the folks in the middle. And I think that the people I've talked to from around the country, they're just aghast at what went on with the Democrats in this last Kavanaugh hearing here, to really, ignore the rule of law, ignore any sort of need for corroborated evidence to be used to be able to have somebody up there just through accusations is wrong. Trying to destroy a man and his family for that reason, it really went against the grain for a lot of folks, especially in the middle. So I think it's helped us. I think we have a lot better chance now of holding the House, and the elections are just about a month away now, so I think we're in pretty good shape. I think we probably lose part of our lead, but I think we hold on to it.
Congressman Blaine Lucht-O-Meyer, he's joined us today in Quicksland this morning.